You would, in your Bibles, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. We'll also be reading again in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21 that we read out of last Sunday. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and look at with me in verse 6. It says, "Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." Verse 9 through 11 is where I want you to see this morning. It says, "Wherefore, because of what Christ did, because of him becoming flesh and humbling himself and dying on that cross, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." What name is that? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you today for your love. We thank you so much for the sacrifice you made on Calvary for us. And God, we thank you for the name you gave your Son. And we pray this morning as we look once again afresh at that lovely name, that you would encourage us, that you would enable us to see again what a wonderful, wonderful name the name of Jesus is. In Jesus' name, amen. We think about the name of Jesus, and we mentioned last Sunday morning that the name of Jesus, of course, Jesus means Savior. As we think about this name, it is the Bible describes this name as being the name above all names. Jesus, our Savior. Christ, our Messiah, the Anointed One. Lord, which means boss. As we think about these three names that are so closely related to Jesus, and you know, Savior, Jesus, Christ, and also Lord, we find out that the one that was given that is above all names is the one that is most controversial. As we think about in this day and age which we live, that the name Jesus comes now with disparaging thoughts to many around the country and around the world. It's okay if you say God, it's okay if you say Lord, but you start mentioning the name of Jesus and you're T-bowed, right? We think about as our country has come along in the last 200 years, and I don't believe at all there's any of us who can point back and say, hey, here's a spot where the name of Jesus was at a low and at a very low spot or a very lowly thought of, like it is today. We mentioned the summer when we came back from the Spiritual Leadership Conference in California, that they had made an announcement there in California. This would have been in mid-July, that finally the Supreme Court had upheld the right for preachers and others to pray the name of Jesus at city council meetings. I mean, we're just now settling that fight, and thankfully the Supreme Court ruled on our side. But all across the land, city councilmen and city councils were putting aside the name of Jesus, not letting it be said in the city council chambers. Isn't that amazing that we live in a day in which the name of Jesus can't even be said in a city building, a public building? The name of Jesus is being erased from our public schools and just all over. It's okay. It's okay as a football player if you thank God for your talent. But you start thanking Jesus for it, and you'll be pointed out. You won't just be pointed out. You'll be ridiculed. Isn't it amazing? It's okay to say Lord. It's okay to say God. But you put it over into the realm of the name of Jesus, and it carries a whole new thought with it. It carries a whole different ideal to the world at large out there. And can I tell you, the Bible says it's at the name of Jesus they will bow one day. Oh, man. You think about that for a moment. The name of Jesus, and what a great and wonderful name it is. By the way, Jesus said himself, he said, "Whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do." That's why we end our prayers in Jesus' name. Can I tell you that we are to end our prayers as Christians in Jesus' name. It's Jesus that gets the job done. It's Jesus that is our go-between, our mediator between God and man. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord. Jesus, the name above all names. And can I tell you, let's don't give the name up. Can I tell you, if you get an opportunity, lift the name of Jesus high. Again, get away from using, you know, God, the generic term of God, because to them, the world today, God can be Allah, it can be whomever. But Jesus carries a whole different realm with it, I'm telling you. Let's don't give the name up. It's the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. It's the name of Jesus that was given to him from heaven. We think about Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus, a carpenter, a humble carpenter, not born to a king or a queen, but born to Mary and Joseph. But yet this lowly baby in a manger is the hope of all mankind. Jesus is one who dispels fear. Jesus is one who brings peace, as the angel said. Jesus, our Savior. And as we preached last Sunday morning, one day He'll be King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but first He had to come to be our Savior. That was the message last Sunday. Today is Jesus, what a wonderful name. What a great name. As you think about this name, we think about it first off, we see the name came from heaven. It says the angel brought it, you know, brought forth that she shall bring forth her son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. Mary was told what to name Jesus. This was a name given by God to Jesus. It was the right name. It was the correct name, Jesus, which means Savior. By the way, when God gave that name to Mary to give and to Joseph to give to Jesus, He knew that was the right name. Again, Jesus means Savior. He knew it was the right name. He says He will save His people from their sins. The word Jesus means Savior, which means the salvation of the Lord. I want to allude today to also the word name Joshua in the Old Testament. The name Joshua, who was the leader after Moses, the name Joshua in Hebrew, is the same word in the Greek for Jesus. So Joshua, the meaning is Jesus, the same word, the Hebrew word for Jesus. We think about the different deliverers of the Old Testament, or saviors of the Old Testament. We think about Joshua and Gideon and David. There are many examples in the Old Testament of those who delivered people. We think about Samson and others who were great deliverers or great saviors. But can I tell you, the greatest deliverer of all time is Jesus Christ. He didn't save His people from the Philistines. He saved His people from their sins. He was called Jesus by man in that He was called Emmanuel, God with us. He was not just a prophet. He was not just a leader. He was not just a teacher. He was not just a good man. He was not just an example, but He was Jesus, Savior. He was Jesus, Redeemer. Again, we think about that through His blood, He redeemed all mankind. Through His blood and sacrifice on Calvary, He saved man from their sins. Jesus, the name above all names. And I don't have time this morning to fully go through this, but in the Old Testament, names meant a lot more. In the New Testament, in the days of Christ, names meant something. Today they really don't. I remember as a kid thinking about my name. My name's associated with Ray Stevens, Eric the Awful. None of y'all heard that song? Outdating myself? Like three of you know that song. Some of the young guys, none of y'all? Nobody hear Ray Stevens? No? He's funny. Eric the Awful. Ah! It was a good song. What else you think about Eric? My thing when I think about Eric is Eric the Red, the Viking, right? You know, but you don't really go through and associate my name with anything else. It's all bad stuff. And but the names in the New Testament, and the names as we read them in the Bible, they meant something. I've mentioned 100 times already, you know, last Sunday morning and also Wednesday night, that when the announcement came to the shepherds, and they said that, you know, they said that Jesus, Messiah, the Lord, Christ, is born, the shepherds probably understood what that meant. Names meant something to those in Bible times. We think about the name of Jesus. Someone has said that there are more than 500 proper names and descriptive terms used in Scripture to portray the Holy Trinity. The names, again, in Bible times had much significance. We think about names today which have no significance. We think about the name Dara. I just brought this one up because it means gift of God. I know we have somebody in the church named that. Henry. Think about Henry. Henry means home ruler or ever rich. Anybody hear of Henry? One who manages his home and affairs wisely and well. And I know some Henrys, and their name, their actions do not live up to their namesake. James. The name James means superior. Maybe there's some Jameses in here this morning. But many have not lived up to that name or that meaning of that name. Oh, I did Laura. I did both of them. That's amazing. Okay, inside joke. We have a Dara, and she's married to James. No? No. Holly. Dara is married to Brother Mosley. Now, I've messed it all up. They're all in the family somewhere. Now I'll get red in the face, yeah. Hang on while I get a shovel. Somebody can bury me in it. I'm sorry to all the Mosley family. You can email me if you want to. I'm all right. This message is going somewhere. Everybody still with me? I only messed it up for a few. The visitors don't have any clue what we're talking about. James means superior. The point is this. Most of us here today wouldn't know what our names meant, even if we thought of, I mean, we don't know what they mean. Our names, we aren't given our names generally because of their meaning. There may be some here today, but most of the time our names are given to us because it was Aunt so-and-so or Uncle so-and-so. My middle name is Eugene. I don't make that public very often because that used to be a nerdy name. But my middle name's Eugene because that was my uncle's middle name. We called Caleb Harlan Crawford. His middle name is my papa's name. We think about Joshua Dan, my dad's name. Micah Eric, he got mine, sorry. But you see that the thrust of it is this, that most of us are named after people of relatives or someone well thought of in the family or outside the family. But in Bible times, names meant something. And when you approach somebody, when you said, my name is Eric Crawford, they would automatically, in the New Testament, in New Testament times, that name would register in their mind as to what that name meant. And it carried with it meaning. We think about Abraham. The word Abram means higher father or high father. And his name was changed to Abraham by God, which means the father of many nations. And Abraham did become the father of many nations, the Israelites, the Ishmaelites, the Midianites, and our spiritual father, amen, those of us who are saved. Pharaoh's daughter gave Moses his name because he drew him out of the water. Jacob's name, signifying supplanter or one who takes the place of another, was changed by the Lord to Israel, meaning a prince of God. I know I knew this, but David's name meant beloved. We think about the one whom the Lord loved. Very, very good. All these, again, names had meanings. We think about, for example, the names of God when he came to Moses and he said, I am that I am. We think about the God as he applies his name in many different ways when Jesus said, I am the light of the world. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the door. I am the resurrection of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the vine. That would have carried meaning with the unbelieving Jews. In fact, when God identified himself as I am that I am in the Old Testament, and then Jesus Christ in the New Testament identified himself as the I am the door, I am so forth. In John chapter 8, verse 58, the Jews tried to stone him for saying that he was the I am, because that name meant Jehovah God, the self-existent one. Jesus himself claimed, and we know he was, the Jehovah God. He was God in the flesh. Of all the names given to God and all the names given to our Savior, Jesus is said to be the name above all names. Isn't that amazing? Again, as we think about the fire that this name has come under in recent times, but the name of Jesus, Savior, this name Jesus, name above all names, Jesus Christ, our Savior, meant something. I was reading again as I prepared for the message that Josephus says that this was a common name. Jesus was not an uncommon name in the time of which the disciples and the time in which Jesus lived. Josephus mentions 12 other people whose names were Jesus. So don't get the idea that Jesus is the only one running around whose name was Jesus. I mean, it's kind of like, I won't go into that one. But you know, it was a common name. But his name among those of the New Testament and according to Bible times may have been common. But can I tell you that he's the only one who ever lived up to his name? See, Abraham, he lived up to his name. Jacob lived up to his name in more ways than one. David lived up to his name. And no doubt there was a remnant of people. We know from the Bible there was a remnant of people who were looking for the Messiah. There was a remnant of people in the New Testament and during the times of Christ who were looking for the Savior, who were looking for the Messiah who had come. And no doubt many parents from that time and from the Old Testament prophecies would name their son Jesus, hoping that he would be the one. But none of them lived up to their name. But Jesus did. Jesus, Savior. Jesus Christ, Redeemer. Again, his name was shared by others. I mentioned already that his name was shared by that Old Testament great patriarch Joshua, the leader after Moses died of the people of Israel. Joshua meaning Jesus. Joshua meaning Savior. By the way, Joshua lived up to his name. After Moses died and they were just about to enter the promised land, you think about what a great and wonderful leader that Joshua was, in that he took 1 to 3 million people and crossed over the river Jordan and went in and defeated that great city of Jericho and went in and defeated the Canaanites and all the Ite people of the Canaan land and divided up the land. Joshua was a great deliverer. The Bible describes Joshua as going into that land and giving them rest. Joshua gave them physical rest. Joshua was their Savior, physically speaking. In other words, he went in and saved them. He went in and delivered them. He went in and captured that great land. But can I tell you, Jesus Christ did more than that. He delivered us from our sins. He delivered us from the spiritual death. He delivered us from the wrath of God. And he brings us into a spiritual rest. And can I tell you, being a physical rest can mean that we are not really resting. Dealing with counseling with people who may try to physically sleep or, you know, get in their lazy boy and prop up the chair and try to physically rest. There are many today who never really get to that point where they can physically rest because there's so much stress in their life. Find people who are discouraged and depressed, physically never able to really rest. And so they'll go on different types of medication to try to help that and try to get the rest that they need. And sometimes there are physical problems. I understand that. I'm not leaving that out. But can I tell you that Jesus Christ will bring spiritual rest? That Jesus Christ will bring you into a land of rest. Hebrews talks about this a lot. I know I'm kind of going in circles here, but Hebrews speaks of that land of rest. The land of rest. Talking about the Christian can go to the land of rest. Well, is he talking about Canaan land? Is he talking about a physical piece of property in the book of Hebrews? No. He's talking about a land of rest, a place of rest that the Christian can have. When Jesus said, I came to give life and give it more abundantly, he was speaking of this rest that we can have in Christ Jesus. I don't have to worry and fret, folks. I don't have to be stressed out. I have a Savior who will carry my load. I have a Savior who will carry my burdens. I have a Savior who's promised me a place of rest. Not just talking about heaven now, but here and now. And can I tell you this morning, if you are stressed out, if you are discouraged, if you are depressed this morning, come to Jesus. Enter into His rest. He says, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. That physical rest that Joshua gave to the people of Israel, you can have spiritually in your own life. You don't have to live a life of discouragement and stress and worry. Jesus Christ's name was shared by others. But can I tell you, He's the only true deliverer. He's the only true Savior. We also think about Christ being identified with His own people. And by that He says, and it says there in Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from his sins. Now, we dwelt a lot last week on him being the Savior, but can I tell you this morning that he's a Savior of his people. Of his people. Notice it doesn't say here of the Jews, but it talks about his people. Notice it doesn't say here God's people, but it says his people. Can I tell you this morning, His people are those who are saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. His people are those who have placed their trust and has placed their faith in His life, His death, and His resurrection. That is His people. He shall save His people from their sins. Can I tell you that everyone who's born into the world is born a sinner? The Bible makes that very clear. As is written, there's none righteous, no, not one, for all have sinned and have come short of the glory of God. And contrary to politically correctness or whatever you want to call it, that not all people go to heaven when they die. You've got to be a part of His people to go to heaven when you die. You've got to be one of His in order to enter heaven when you die. By the way, the alternative is not very fun, because the alternative of heaven is hell. And Jesus says, but God commended His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He came to save sinners, Paul said, of which I am the chiefest. We think about this morning that He died for the just and the unjust. He died for all of us. He was buried and rose again. And His people are those who put their faith and trust in Him. Sinners who are saved. By the way, sinners who are simply saved by grace. The Bible says, for as is written, there's none righteous, none, not one. But we think about that verse that says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. Salvation, or being a part of His people, is a gift. It's not earned. It's not something you work your way to. He's already done the work for us. Salvation, or being one of His people, is found by being and trusting in Him as our Savior. Who is His people? Simply sinners who have been saved by grace. By the way, we're all sinners. In other words, by that I mean we have no reason or right to look down upon anybody else. We're all just simply sinners saved by grace. God's unmerited favor. As mentioned the last couple of weeks, Jesus, the name Jesus means Savior, which indicates His work. By the way, it indicates His main work. Jesus Christ was selfless, and man, he was a servant. But the ultimate expression, the ultimate illustration of His servanthood was His death and burial. The ultimate illustration and demonstration of His main work was the cross of Calvary. He took our sins upon the cross. He took our burden of sin there, paid the price for our sin on the cross of Calvary. Christ suffered for us. In other words, the name of Jesus indicates His main work. And lastly, His name is deserved. We gave our children, you know, various names, and I think about my papa, and I think about Joshua, named Joshua Harlan Crawford. My papa was a great man. And given the name Crawford means something, you know, as far as our history and our heritage. But can I tell you, Jesus Christ deserved the name because of what He did for us. Not because of His heritage, or he was born of a carpenter. But He deserved the name of Jesus because of what He did for us. The name was given to Him because of His works. Spurgeon tells a story of walking through a cemetery one time and looking at a gravestone. And on the gravestone, the name was Methuselah Corning. The first name was Methuselah. He noticed on the date that the girl had died at the age of 6 months old. Well, Methuselah is the man in the Bible who lived the longest. The name just definitely doesn't match. Can I tell you that she may not have deserved the name, but Christ deserved His name. Think about that for a moment. The God of the universe came, was born in a manger. The God of the universe who made all things, who owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, was born and placed in a horse trough. The God of the universe who created all things and owns all things wasn't placed in a bed or in a crib, wasn't born in a motel room, or as Rachel said, a hotel, but was born in a stable. Our Savior lived the perfect life for 33 and a half years. And then not for crimes He had done, but for our sins and for our crimes, He went to a cross. There He bled and He died for us. He deserves His name. He is the Savior. He is the Savior of the world. But I'm thankful today that on the third day He rose again from the dead. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Matthew chapter 1, again, verse 21 says, And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call His name Jesus, for He shall save His people from their sins. Philippians says His name is above all names, Jesus, Savior. Is He your Savior this morning? Christian, if He is, and you're saved this morning, can we be reminded that He deserves His name for what He did for us? By way of His birth and His life and His death and His resurrection. He deserves that lovely name, the name of Jesus. I think about that song. What a lovely name, the name of Jesus. Reaching higher far, higher than the stars. What a great and lovely name He has. Y'all have heard the old song, Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus. Like a fragrance after the rain. And what a tremendous name, the name of Jesus. Let's be reminded during this Christmas time, as we gather around and our families around, let's place emphasis upon the reason for the season, the Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's never lower the standard, if you would, and allow ourselves to be ashamed or afraid or bashful about using the name Jesus. Whether it's with our children or whether it's with your grandchildren or whether it's at the city hall or whether it's at the football game, wherever it may be, that we lift the name of Jesus high. Because one day, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Let's all stand.